Thank you. It's always good to be here. One of the things I remember is being here in 1982, when Skip was starting his little Bible study, and then watching God's hand upon Skip and watching what God can do, not only in Skip, in each one of our lives. That's what's so cool about God. What I want to do first is I want you to stand, anyone here in the armed forces that serve in the military, once you stand, we want to thank you so much for your service to you guys. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, you guys. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, living in the days that we're living in today, you kind of think, well, what can I speak on? Because there's so many sermons. You hear so many people on the radio, watch people on television, and the message is going out, but I think the ears are not catching what the Lord is saying to the church. There's been a lot of things that have happened in our church, and one of the things is that we've seen not only a lot of people come to the church, a lot of people have received the Lord. And usually when you have a crusade, you know, like Billy Graham and Greg, whoever it is, you see a lot of people come forward. And then I think, how many of those people will last? You know, will stick with the Lord. You know, nobody can really stick with the Lord unless it's the Holy Spirit in your life. The way the Holy Spirit works in our lives is totally different than He'll work with somebody else's life. Because we all come from different situations, different problems, different sins. And to me, it's always exciting to stand and to be a representative like you of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that can be given to each one of us individually. So I was asking the Lord last night, Lord, what can I speak to these men? I had the sermon prepared, and then the Lord kind of changed my sermon. And I was reading this morning, I'm going through the Bible, so I was reading the book of Numbers. Won't you turn to the book of Numbers chapter 20 this morning? Numbers chapter 20. You know, the most beautiful thing is going through the Bible. Because as I've been going, I like to go through the Bible twice a year. Because every time that I don't understand something, the next time God speaks to my heart. It's always different. Different situation, different times in our lives. And when you start reading the Bible becomes not only real, but the Bible convicts you through the power of the Holy Spirit. As you study other men's or women's relationship with God in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. And when we look at the Old Testament, a lot of times people say, well, it's the Old Testament. It's a law. Yeah, but remember, the law appointed and the law convicted us to come to the grace of God. That's what's so cool about the law. That the law condemned people, but grace gave us that opportunity not only to repent, but to experience peace with God. The forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here the people of God are coming out of Egypt. When you think of Egypt, Egypt is a type of the world. I guess every one of us was in the world. If you say, you know, that you're a liar. Every one of us in the world. And in the world, we did so many things that we were so ignorant, and Satan had a hold of our lives. And when we came out of the world, like the children of Israel, how many times when we went to the wilderness or before the wilderness, we started going across the Red Sea. And as we go across the Red Sea, what happens? The Lord takes care of an enemy. And He wipes them out. We get to the other side. When we get to the other side, it's only an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. But because of our murmuring, because of our not only murmuring, but unbelief in our lives, then the Lord says it was going to be an 11-day journey, but I'm going to teach you in 40 years who I am and who called you into walking by faith. What blows my mind as I read the Bible is that those people that came out of Egypt, they never made it to the promised land. They died in the wilderness. Only their children, 20 years and under, were the ones to cross with Joshua to the other side. And the wilderness always, to me, is the place of wandering, you know, not really knowing God's peace, not really knowing God's direction. Because I have my eyes so much on myself, my complaints, my problems, that I never see the hand of God in my life. And remember that He brought me out of the world, man, when I was going to die. I feel sorry for this dad this morning. So tragic. And I deal with that so many times where his son ODs. My son, Ryan, 19 years in drugs. I mean, I never took drugs. I never really drank. My problem was violence. But my son getting to drugs at the age probably of 12, 13 years old, then in high school. And then going out to the world. And every single Saturday night going out and looking for him. Thinking he's dead. My wife and I. And 19 years later, he was in Panama City. He worked for my son. They had a skateboard company. They had all these riders that go all over the world. And my son was the leader of all these young people. They were on drugs. And would drink and party and do all these wild things, which every one of us have done. And then what happens is that he goes down to Panama City. And there in Panama City, one of the guys, Lopez, calls me and says, "Say your son is going to die here in Panama City." So my wife and I dropped to our knees and we started praying. "Lord, spare my son." And then my son went back to the hotel. And when he back to the hotel, he opened the Bible. He opened the actual drawer and there was a Gideon Bible there. And he picked it up and he started reading it. And then he put it away. He went to bed that evening, got up the next morning because they had to depart. Got the skateboard team together. He steals the Bible, puts it in his luggage. And then he gets on the plane. He gets on the plane and the writer is on one side. And he chooses on the other side to sit and open the Word of God and read it 7 hours. 7 hours. When he gets to LAX, he calls me. He says, "Hey, Dad, you know a rehab?" A rehab. A rehab where I can go and get myself clean. I said, "Yeah, come to my office, sit in my office, and then I'll give you some things to do." So I picked up a table, put it there with a chair, and then I gave him Chuck's tapes, Chuck's CDs. He started listening to Chuck's CDs. He began to develop, he began to grow. He never went to rehab. And not knowing, 6 years later, that God would call him into the ministry. Our prayers are never void. God answers prayer. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are His ways. It may be like this brother that lost his son this morning. Pastor Dill lost his son in an accident. He was a highway patrolman. And there are so many that have lost their children. Probably is one of the hardest things to lose a child that you love. And how God spares our children, and my son got spared, and he started the Whosoevers, and began to deal with these kids that were on drugs, and are on drugs, and just different things that they do, and God began to use his life. Began to use his life. Because God takes us from the dirt, and he creates us, and he makes us. And one of the things that we tend to forget is that we have a Savior and we have a Creator that has created each one of us individually. Not the same. We all have different personalities. We all have different moods, different feelings. And one of the things that I've learned is in the world, I had no compassion. I had nothing but hate and anger. My dad used to take me when I was 5 years old with him to the bars, and I would watch him get drunk and do things that were not a kid should ever see, and then get home and abuse my mother physically, verbally. And my goal was to kill my dad. To kill my dad. And we lived in Mexico City. My mom was born in New York City in Manhattan. My grandparents are Spaniards. They came from Spain. And my dad was Mexican-German. It was incredible that at the age of 10, my mom decided to leave him to come to L.A. So we left him. We came to Los Angeles. And my dad was in Mexico City. He worked for the Bank of Mexico. And he decided that he wants to come back to us. So for 2 years, he wants to come back. My mom allows him to come back. And I was furious. By that time, I was 10 years old. He came. He got a job at the Bank of America. My mom got a bank at the bank, the Union Bank. They both work in different banks. And my dad would come home in the afternoons and he would drink and he would start verbal abuse, physical abuse of my mom. And I was in high school, and after high school, you know, I went to the Marine Corps, went to Vietnam, came back, and one day I was at the house and with my wife, and he started harassing me. He started saying to me and my wife. And then he tried to put his hands on me, and I grabbed a butcher knife, and I went through his throat. He said, if you ever, ever touch me again, I said, I'm not the little boy I used to be. And then 2 weeks later, because I had a problem too, for 4.5 years, verbal, physical abuse from my wife, committed adultery with everything you could imagine. Every woman that I could get my hands on. Had a good job. I was trying to get my education. And then I had my Kung Fu school for so many years. I started when I was a sophomore in high school. Went to Vietnam, came back, Jimmy H. Wu was instructor, and I was there for 46 years until he died. And what was so cool is that when I came home after 4.5 years of the abuse, my wife was ready to leave me. You saw the documentary, the movie, and Satan spoke to my heart to kill my wife, my kids, and have the cops kill me. And then that evening, Christ spoke to my life as I tried to break the TV. Pastor Chuck Smith was preaching with Catherine Kuhlman. I got on my knees and I accepted Christ. Pastor Dale grew up with me. We've known each other for 50-some years. And what was really cool is that when I came to Christ, first thing I did is I got in my car and went out to look for a Bible because I knew there were bookstores, right? So I get to this bookstore. I look at all these Bibles. They got little ones, medium-sized, big old Bibles, you know. And then they have these little fishes, big ones, or big tunas or sharks, you know, back in the hippie days. And I got me one of the biggest Bibles, and I got me the biggest fish. I was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ came into my life, and I wanted to serve Him, especially when I began to read the Word of God, what He did for my life. And through coming to the Word of God and knowing Christ, God began to give me conviction, to bring conviction to my life. And through conviction, you begin to have a change in your life. We're not perfect, believe me. We're imperfect. We trip, we fall, but we should get up, dust ourselves, and go forward. Like a warrior. When I was in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, I was blown away. Because when I got to chapter 6, about putting the armor of God, being in the military, being in combat, saying, wow, here's a whole armor, but where's the back part to the armor? And then I realized we're not supposed to be cowards. Never turn our backs on God. Never, ever. We need to always go forward and stand for what we believe in. You know, carry our dead, carry our wounded. There's so many wounded in the church today. So many. And then I think of the churches of today. My sermon this morning, what I'm going to speak about, is misrepresenting God. Misrepresenting God. Each one of us individually here, and somehow, in some way, in the past or the present, and even in the future, we have and we will misrepresent God. Somehow. Moses was the leader. Brought the people through the wilderness. The people died 40, you know, after the 20, you know, some years old, all the way to the 60, 80, they all died. And when Joshua entered the promised land, remember that when he came to the promised land, before that he had to go across the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is the type of the reckoning of the old man to be dead, Romans chapter 5 through 8. And then the promised land is not heaven, because there's still giants in the promised land. There's still problems and trials. But one of the things that I learned is that when he came to the promised land, is where God begins to mold you and shape you into His image because He wants to use your life, because He has a plan for your life, you guys. For each one of us here. Time is short. Time is short, you guys. I've been in the Lord this year 42 years. And in 42 years, not only have I seen so much, but the thing that hurts me, I've seen so many leave the church. So many that have backslidden. And I think the problem today, when you look at the church, the problem is not the world. The world has always been there. But the problem today is the commitment of the people within the church dying to themselves. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, the call is if any man, any man. And then he says, if any man wants to come after me, which what is my will? Either not to come or to come. But before we can make that decision, make sure you count the cost. Because it's going to cost you. And even your life sometimes. Even your life. Because when you come to Christ, you deny yourself. And then I love this, you pick up your cross. I can't carry your cross. You got to carry your own cross. And the cross is the instrument of death. Death. Every one of us died. And the reason is because of my Master Savior, Jesus. He died. And when we die, God gives us life. Resurrected life. We can live in Him through my life. I am praying that somehow God will bring a revival to the church, as we just saw in Philadelphia. That men would stop being wimps, and men would start being great husbands, loving their children, loving their wives, getting rid of sin, and becoming the leaders in their homes. Becoming leaders in their homes. Because the world's watching us. People you work with, they're watching you. Where you play, people are watching you. Whatever you in your life, people are watching you. And one of the greatest things that I've learned is God knows how to break people. I've learned how God to break my life. He continues to break my life. I keep learning every day that I can live and walk in pride. We have to be in humble, walk in humility. That's very hard. Because men think, you know, we're self-efficient. You know, we can do everything because we're men. But you know, when a man is broken, he becomes a greater man. Greater man with greater respect. In the world, they make fun of you. And you get angry if you're one of those persons. You can beat them up and all that stuff that, you know, we've all done. But Christ begins to pour Himself into your life like a glass. And He doesn't stop. If He keeps pouring, what happens to the glass? It overflows. And our lives are supposed to be overflowing with God's presence and God's Holy Spirit. Moses had that opportunity. Moses was on his way to the promised land. 38 years leading, hearing, murmuring, complaining, all these things. And then when he got to Moab, to the mounts of Moab, the Lord said, hey, Moses, I want you, first of all, because the people are murmuring and complaining. He says, I want you to give them the water they need. So he went out after talking to God, because Moses said, hey, the people are murmuring and complaining, God, I'm tired of that. He went out there and God said to him, speak to the rock. He went out and he beat the rock. How many times God gives us instruction and we disobey instructions. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost every one of us. And when Moses went out, he saw the people. And he's like me. When I see the people, then I get angry. What a bunch of murmurs and complainers. Don't they see that God led us and took care of us and fed us? And now we're going to go across to the other side. And he's going to bless us the land of honey and fruit and honey. Just imagine that. A site where there are giants, but God is going to fight our battles. Isn't that cool? He's going to fight our battles. You don't have to get in the way of God. Let God do it. He does a better job than each one of us individually. And when Moses came out, he took that staff and he beat the rock once, he beat it twice. The water came forth because God honors his word. God honors his word. But when we disobey, and when, get this word, and when we misrepresent God, that's the key word. We misrepresent God, then the consequences have to be paid. And how many times you and I have misrepresented God? Somehow, on the freeway, at home, at the job, at the gym, you know, anywhere we go, at the mall. The other day I was watching this husband, you know, he was on his wife, man, just bad. And even at the airport, when we were flying yesterday, this old guy with his grandson there, you know, he's yelling at his wife, grandma, and his grandson's right there. Misrepresenting God. I think we need to be careful in these last days because this is what happens. And hear me well. I have non-believer friends still, and I talked to these guys. I said, hey, how come you haven't come to Christ? You saw my life. You saw 30 of our friends come to Christ. And why haven't you come to Christ? And I talk to other people, not just my friends. And this is what they say. They say, I'll come to Christ when the church comes to Christ. Think about that. The church is misrepresenting God. We're pushing people away from Christ instead of drawing people to Christ. And you don't have to preach. When you live the life of Christ, people watch you, you get on time to work, you don't take extra breaks, you work a little later than everybody else, you have respect for other people, and what happens is people begin to say, man, how come you're so different? And then you can say, because of my Master Jesus Christ. He's the one that keeps me online. He's the one. And when he keeps me online, then I don't have to say one thing, but I can have the joy and the blessing of saying, God, Lord, you are real. Look how you touch people. And I think that if we look at the church today, like Moses, like the study here, the church is misrepresenting God. And yet we're living in the last days. We're misrepresenting God by watching pornography, by drinking, taking drugs, lying, cheating, so many things that Paul speaks about. Remember in Ephesians, in Colossians, Galatians, and all these places. And one of the things that God spoke to my heart is he says that those that are continually doing those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then you get to the book of Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, and he says, that's cool, you go to church. You know, you're involved in a ministry, you're doing all these things, but there's one thing that you lack, and that is you left your first love. You've left your first love. Repent. Return. Repent and return. And when you repent and you return, God will use you amazingly, you guys. Amazingly. You know why? Because he loves you more than you love him. If we really love the Lord, then we're going to sacrifice. We're going to die to ourselves. If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. Follow me. And it's not easy to follow Jesus Christ. Whoever gains his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will gain it. And that's one thing that I'm learning continually, because of pride, because of my anger, because I look at my life in the past, I hate it. And because I went back to Vietnam to film Taking the Hill, it was one of the hardest things I ever had in my life. To go back to those places, I lost a lot of friends. A lot of them wounded. And the Lord took me back for a reason, because He has a purpose in my life. To help vets. To help guys just like me that need help. And it's not through the VA, you guys, it's through Jesus Christ that you're healed. And one of the things that happened to me is that a lady came to me. I was in Las Vegas doing a men's conference. And this lady came to me. She followed me everywhere I was going. I was wondering why she followed me. So I approached her and said, "Can I help you?" She says, "Well, I watched your first film, Quiet Hope. And it really touched me. My husband left me many years ago. He was a Viet veteran. And I was watching it and I wanted to know, how much did you make that film for?" I said, "At that time, probably $50,000. She said, "Have you ever thought about making another film? And if you know what I do, you know where God leads, He provides. I don't like this for money." I said, "Where God leads, He provides." She left. She came back the next day. She came up to me separately. She said, "Can I talk to you for a second?" So we talked. She says, "I'm going to give you a check to do that movie." And when she gave me the check, it was for $1 million. $1 million. And when she gave me the check, she held the check. She wouldn't let it go. And she says, "I want you to know that Satan's going to come after you." And I said, "Satan's always after me." I was at Calvary teaching the book of Hebrews chapter 3 through the Bible. I finished the chapter, got in my car, started going home. I got home, and it was fully darkness by my home. Fully darkness. Turn up the engine. All of a sudden, from my navel to my throat to my brain, I was running down the street thinking the VC were chasing me. I couldn't stop. Called my wife, said, "You need to get up here immediately. Something's happened to my brain." When she came, she found me in my office upstairs on the floor. I was weeping and crying. And remember, I was never a crybaby, but God has ways of breaking us. And what happened, Dale, my wife, I went to the doctors, and in front of the doctor, I had a seizure. I couldn't teach. I couldn't preach. I thought my ministry was over. That was the end of that. I was bummed. I've never been depressed in my life. I'm not the person that gets bummed. And for 6 weeks, I couldn't do nothing. Nothing. And then God touched my life. I went back to the church and did ministry. But since then, six years now, I've been having seizures. I don't pass out. But what happens from my navel to my throat to my brain, I can't speak or I can't read. I'm fully awake. I know who you are. I know where I'm at. 40 seconds, 45 seconds, sometimes a minute. And then I come back, I get my brain adjusted, and I can come back and pick it up. If I come back too early, then I can't speak correctly, and I get these things, you know, it's weird. But I know that Satan hates us. He hates us. And that doesn't stop me from preaching the gospel. It makes me preach the gospel even more. Because we only have one life to live and it'll soon be passed. And the only thing that's going to last is what you do for Christ. Period. Nothing else. And like Moses, I do not want to misrepresent God. I do not. When Moses misrepresented God, beat the rock twice when Jesus Christ was only beaten once, remember? He's the rock of our salvation. He brings it up in the Gospel of John chapter 3 in verse 17 about Him being lifted up. Like what? Like the serpent being set up, you know, picked up and lifted up in the wilderness. And think about what God has done, what He's doing, and what He will do if you take up your cross and follow Him, submitting yourself. I was sharing with the church. We have once a month we have a time of worship and prayer, no teaching. We gather together. We have sometimes 1,800 people. You know, sometimes, you know, 1,500 or 1,200, and we worship and we pray. And what is so cool, as we worship and we pray, not only does God become real in our lives, but it strengthens the church. Strengthens the church, you guys. It brings us to a place of denial. It brings us to a place of worship. And when I explain to the body about the word worship, because Jesus, remember the Samaritan woman, those that worship God, they worship Him in spirit and in truth. That word truth is a word to be real. God has to be real in my life. But the word worship is not just raising your hands. That's a sign in war of surrender. The enemy surrendering. But the word really, that worship, what it really means is to get on your knees, take your face, and put it on the ground where your nose is touching the ground before God in holiness. That's worship. Getting on your face before God. And not always talking, be silent. Listen to God. It's like when we get on the phone, there's two-way conversation, but once the battery runs dry, you can't talk. They can call you, but they can't get you. But once you plug into Jesus, what happens? You can have communion again. Communion again with one another. Communion with Him. And surely today we need communion with Christ. I want to represent Him as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I want to represent Him as a servant of Jesus Christ. In the remaining days of our lives, how do we want to finish the race? You want to hear that good and faithful servant come in? That's what I want to hear. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. I want people to know that I'm a warrior for Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid of the devil. I don't like to mess with the devil. But when he comes to me, I always go to Jesus. Because He's the one that defends me. He's the one that is there to defend me every single day. Because I make a mess of things. A mess of things, you guys. Just like you. You know, sometimes men of God get puffed up and they get big. But in the eyes of the Lord, He can bring them to become little. We're all just servants. We're not famous. We should never worship men. We should worship men. We should worship Jesus. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that forgave us. And He's the one that continues to use my life. To use my life, to use your life. Because there's such a work to be done. Look at all the people that are perishing. Your families. Your sons, your daughters. Just like our brother today. Today he's down and bummed out. That was his son. The father said, remember, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His son. We are sons and daughters of God. God has given us to this world to represent Him, not to misrepresent Him like Moses did. Like Moses did. And the reason is because of the love of Christ in my life. I want to finish well the race. I want to hear Jesus say, that good and faithful servant. I would pray this morning, you guys, that before you leave here, you make a decision that when you came through those doors, today you leave different when you go home. And I challenge you that when you get home, to get on your knees and put your nose at the ground and wait on the Lord. Say, God, how are you speaking to my life today? How do you want to use my life today? You know what? He will do it. If you're on drugs, problem with alcohol, pornography, whatever it is, you get to get rid of your problem when you submit to Him. You get rid of those things that are stumbling you. Why have them? Temptation. And when we are tempted, we break. We go back to those things and then we get condemned. And there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit, you guys. You want to be a real, real soldier, a real man of God, then deny yourself today. Don't be the same person when you leave here. Be a real man. Be a real warrior. Stand for Christ. Never run from the enemy, but fight the enemy. The only way I can fight the enemy is on my knees. On my knees. Because of what Christ has done for each one of us individually. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would touch our lives. Lord, help us to really look to you as the author, the finisher of our great faith, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray if there's any guys in here that came because somebody invited them, Lord. Lord, that they would understand they don't have to come to you ever. But you give people the opportunities to go to heaven or to go to hell. We make that decision, Lord. You have given us a will to make decisions. Never to have anything forced upon us, Lord. And just all you guys with your eyes closed, if there's anybody here that wants to receive Christ, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to be a real man. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you want to receive Christ, I want you right now to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray with you. Anybody here that is not a Christian? If we're all Christians, that's cool. But if there's anybody here that's not a Christian. And then secondly, you don't have to stand. In the things that I mentioned, any type of a sin that you're struggling with, I just want you with every eye closed to raise your hand and say, pray for me. Awesome. Awesome, you guys. Lord, I pray right now for these men, Jesus, that you would touch them, that you would anoint them, and Lord, that we would leave here with joy and peace, and Father, ready to do battle, Lord God. Lord, ready to take victory and not defeat. To go back, love our wives, our children, our grandbabies, Lord. But to love you more than anybody else, Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for this morning, for these great men, Lord God. Lord, thank you so much. For using my life, Lord. For using all of our lives, Jesus. Keep us simple, humble, Lord. Clinging to you, Lord, because you're so wonderful, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, God. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Pastor Rawl, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Someone just said good stuff. Absolutely. Men, as times like this occur and we gather as we're gathering now, some of us need to just come into a room like this, sit down, get fed, just listen to the music, just listen to God's word being proclaimed and explained, because we're tired. We're spent, may even feel hopeless. If that's you guys, we want you to be here with us for times like that. We all need them. God knows I need it today. And whether that's us or whether we come in thinking, man, I am just here because I'm like a guy walking into a gun shop spiritually. I want more. I want more. I want ammo. I want weaponry to fight this Christian fight that we live. And I know that's some of you today. And I'll tell you what, my war chest is better now for having come here and heard what I've heard. I'm incredibly moved by what he said that man told him. Hey, that I'll come to the church. I'll come to Christ when the church comes to Christ. Oh my gosh. That nailed me. It was like Pastor Rawl threw a javelin. That thing was quivering. And it nailed me in the back of the room there. Another thing I heard today was that when a man is broken in Christ, he becomes a better man. Guys, those are the things that the Holy Spirit, through faithful men, give to us to equip us to do the work of the ministry. And he does that through faithful pastors like Pastor Rawl. He mentioned a movie, Taking the Hill. You can go to takingthehillthefilm.com in order to learn more about that film. Even send men there who've been broken, perhaps through experiences with PTSD like he had been, even later into his Christian life, having to come to terms with that. And you'll watch that film there. You can be directed as to how to get your hand on a copy at that website in order to hear his story in more detail. I know Pastor Rawl gave the call that if there be any men here who don't yet know you, don't yet know the Lord, for them to be able to come to know him. You might not have stood up. You might not have raised your hand, but you might be that guy. If you're that guy and you came with a friend, you let that friend know so that they can tell you more about what it means to walk with Christ. Or if you're sitting at a table, there's a quarterback, QB, quality brother, we like to call him. He's going to be at your table. Let him know either during the time you're having discussion or afterwards. For the rest of you guys, whether you're at a table or not, we have some discussion sheets for the remainder of our time today if you're able to stay and join us. We have a couple of guys who are going to step forward, and for the men who are not at tables but out in the chairs in the back there, we're going to give you a discussion sheet. The intention is for us to utilize our time now around the table here to let God use what was heard today to have us as men open up a little bit, share some scars, share some war stories, share some needs that you might have, share some wisdom, God, that God has given you to give to others. And so they're going to go out and start handing those to you guys. If you're not able to stay with us for the remainder of the time, take one of those discussion sheets anyway. Maybe a couple of you would even go to coffee now and just talk over those kind of things that are mentioned on the sheet there. Just a group of two or three of you at a coffee shop. Or take it, make some duplications of it, and get together with some guys later this week. But nevertheless, Kyle, are those being passed around, my man? All right. If you don't have one, we're going to be up here once I dismiss you guys for your times of discussion. And you can come up here and get some. So if we have any extras, guys, Sturdy and Andres, if we have any extras, you can come up here, bring them to the podium, so that if a guy's without, they can definitely get one. Men, as I mentioned earlier, and I'll close with this to dismiss you, there's times we need to just get some rest. We need to just receive. Just sit down and take in. That's all of us, guys. Paul told the church in the book of Romans, you who are strong, bear with the weaknesses of the weak. And any man here who's walked with Christ for any length of time knows that at any given point, you're either in one category or the other. Maybe you're in a season of strength, or perhaps in a season of weakness. If you're in weakness, gather like this regularly, guys, especially with other men, whether here at our monthly gathering, first Saturday of every month. Just a side note for July. Being that the 4th of July is close to the weekend, it's on a Friday. Instead of next month's rally being the first Saturday of the month, it's going to be the second of the month. We know some of you guys are going to be out of town or with family that weekend, so the second Saturday in July is going to be our monthly rally for July. Or whether it's you're going to come and partake of the car show Friday, June 20th, here on the campus, we'll be outside for our time of music and our time of hearing from Victor Marx. If you're unfamiliar with Victor Marx, go to victormarx.com and watch his life story in a video that's there for free. Or guys, many of us get together weekly, whether it's on campus here for some men's only Bible studies, men's only book studies, or even outside in the community at coffee shops or breakfast shops for men's connect groups. Get together, guys. You are not alone, but God's blessed us with an army of men to gang arms with and either hold them up or be held up by them, depending on where we find ourselves. On that note, guys, is there any coffee left back there, gentlemen? There's some coffee still. Any burritos? Any oatmeal? Any fruit? Yeah, I guess we know what you guys like, huh? There's oatmeal, but there's no more burritos. Right on. Know what to not order next month. Order more burros. With that, guys, I feel compelled to encourage you to stay for our discussion groups. Huddle up at the table or maybe take some of those chairs, put them facing each other, get in groups of three or four, use those discussion sheets. But I want to do something before we go. We're going to pray again, okay? Let me lead us. At 10 o'clock, your quality brother or whoever you're talking with will dismiss you. But let's give it up to God and ask Him for more because we are so needy. Heavenly Father, we come to You as men, thanking You for Your good and precious gifts, Lord. By our very presence here, we're declaring a lot. We're declaring that either we're thirsty, for we all must be thirsty at every time, thirsting for Your righteousness. We're gathered here, Lord, declaring how needy we are. We've come knowing that we're going to hear from Your truth, Your heartbeat through Your word, because it's our food. We also come needy, Lord, knowing that we can't do this alone. If there be any husbands here, they know they can't be a husband that's going to honor You if they insist on walking alone, or perhaps a father, or perhaps a man who is either beyond the years of his family or his family life is yet future. None of us, God, have been created by You to stand alone. But God, You've given us one another as men, as brothers, as family. May You now enable the older men in their wisdom to be good listeners and wise sharers of truth. For these young men that are gathered with us, Lord, young men of whom You say from Your word through the Apostle John, they are in the years of their strength, their zeal, their enthusiasm, their adventure, their wonder, their boldness, their bravery. Thank You for these young men. And please, Lord, may they be so contagious to the rest of us with their vigor and their zeal and their excitement. May it infect all of us, Lord. And Father, for any of us here, young or older, who are needing, Lord, rest, please grant us rest. If any are able to, with their strength, uphold another, bless them with the ability to do that as we now share our lives with each other in discussion. We ask all of this in the name of our great, powerful, awesome, magnificent God and Savior, the man of men, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, with that, every man here said, amen. Blessings, guys.